Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Digital Spy's Soap Scoop. Every week, we're chatting to some of your favourite stars from the world of soaps before digging into the biggest spoilers from Hollyoaks, Coronation Street, EastEnders and Emmerdale. I'm your host, Ali, social editor at Digital Spy, and I'm joined by Sophie, our deputy soaps editor.
Hiya!
How are you doing this week, Sophie?
Yeah, good, thanks. I cannot believe we are recording again, and that we're on episode 3. I feel like time is whizzing by, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's bizarre to think this episode, when you're hearing this, it'll be October 2nd. I just can't believe that we're in autumn, but if it's already starting to feel like winter. London, it's definitely getting colder.
It's colder, it's quite grey, the evenings are darker. I'm feeling the autumn vibes.
Yes, exactly. And autumn means more time inside, more time watching soaps, and more time for us to kind of dig into the biggest storylines that are coming up. So this week we chatted to Ellis Hollins from Hollyoaks, who I'm sure you'll all know and remember. He's been in the show since he was 3, which is pretty crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Do you know what, right? I loved this chat because, little story time here. When I was younger, I really, really wanted to work, like be an actor on a soap or a TV show. And I used to always say to my mum, like, do you think they go to school? And like, how do they learn? You know, how do they learn? And do they get in trouble for missing lessons? And, you know, little spoiler here, I have zero acting skills. So obviously my childhood dreams didn't become a reality. But Ellis obviously knows all about that.
Yeah, because he kind of like lived the dream, like you say. Like it was it's funny talking to people. Talking to like lapsed soaps fans over the past few weeks and being like, oh, you know, we've got an interview with this person coming up and we've spoken to Ellis and lots of people who I go, oh, you know, he was Tom on Hollyoaks. And if you watched Hollyoaks at any point over the past 20 years, you'll recognise him.
100%.
Yeah, and he just has those, like, it was fascinating to talk to him about, like you say, what it was like growing up on set, going to school, kind of how involved his mum was. Lots of really interesting stuff there. So even if you're not a massive Hollyoaks fan, I definitely say stick around for this one because it's super interesting.
Really interesting.
And without further ado, here it is.
Hi, Ellis. How are you?
How you doing? I'm not too bad. Are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us bright and early, although it's actually not that bright and it's actually probably not that early for you either, is it?
It's getting on a bit now, but we move.
Yeah, exactly. So you obviously started in the show when you were just 3 years old, which is a long...
Mad. Yeah.
Yeah, that is
a long,
mad.
A long time ago. Yeah.
So can you remember a time when you weren't in Hollyoaks, really?
Not really. I think the majority of the memories that I've got from, you know, growing up and being a child, as young as I can remember, are from either being at work, going to work, or something work-related. So not really. I can't think I was doing anything interesting in Oldham at less than 3 anyway. So, I can only remember stuff from after work, which is quite nice as well, that I've got their memories.
Oh yeah, I don't remember anything before. Probably even like 5.
I know. Yeah, I've got to say I'm in the job I'm in. I've got a terrible short term memory and long term as well. So I can hardly remember most things. But.
No, I'm the same. So, are you glad that you had that experience of growing up on set and learning the skills rather than sort of being thrown in at the deep end like some of your colleagues probably have?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely glad for the experiences that I had in terms of growing up in that different environment that I grew up in. Yeah, like you said, as opposed to having to learn it when you get older, I think it's been a really good boost in life for me to do them things as I'm growing up. Because it somewhat stays with you a lot more going through it as a child than you would if you had to learn at, say, 20 years old, you know. So I think that it's been a blessing. As much as it's been difficult being different, growing up in school, having to not be in half the time, having to catch up work when I'm not in work in school and stuff like that, really having to try and keep on top of, you know, deadlines and also do my job properly. I think it's been difficult, but it's definitely been worth it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you, like, that, I think that idea of, like, those times when you obviously, presumably, like, school clash with work, because, like, when you're younger, especially, like, school is basically a full-time job at certain points, right? So it's kind of, like, balancing those two things must have been, like, quite intense.
Well, I remember that they used to write my, the secondary school that I went to, they used to write down that it was unauthorised absence when I used to go to work, which... it should be educated off-site, if I remember rightly, because I got 3 hours tutoring every day that I wasn't in school at work. So my attendance for the first 2 years of secondary school was 47%. and I was apparently, you know, statistically, the most, you know, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, truant child at the school. You know, I skipped the school more than anyone, but luckily they changed it. So I got 99%, but it was difficult, you know. But those are the struggles that I kind of grew up with, you know, because that happened through primary school, through any other, you know, schooling that I had. That's what I had to do. So it was somewhat normal. So it was quite easy to keep up with. It was just difficult at times, like through GCSEs and stuff like that. But on the most part, it was quite straightforward.
Yeah, it's a big balancing act, it sounds like. I mean, when you were growing up and going through school and also working at Hollyoaks, did you ever consider another career, or did you always know that acting was what you wanted to do?
I mean, the closest thing to considering another career was an ice cream man. I think that was in the very early years of joining Hollyoaks. That was something I had my heart set on. Sorry, Brian Kirkwood. But that kind of died out, and then I knew I wanted to become an actor. It was just, for me, it seems silly to even want to do anything else, especially as a career as big as the one I've got now. That sounds, you know, very up my own bum, as you would say. But, you know, I've been lucky. I've had a good career from growing up, and I wouldn't want to tarnish that. I think I've got a good head start in life for the environment that I'm in, and I want to use that to the best of my ability. And I also love Hollyoaks. You know, it's been my other family for the best part of, what, 18 years. You know, I've got some lifelong friends there, and the same with my mum, who used to chaperone me. She's got friends there as well. So it's I would never really want to consider, you know, another job, or never have considered another job, because I've always been so secure and so comfortable with where I am at now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also, you know, when you retire, then you can, you know, grab the ice cream van. You know, you can
exactly
scoop to your heart's delight in like 50, 60 years. That's fine.
This is the process that I'm going through. Yeah.
Just, it's interesting that you bring up the fact that obviously, like, your mom was obviously a big part of, like, that time you spent on the set, and like how she made friends and kind of built relationships. Through Hollyoaks as well. We were talking, me and Sophie, a couple of days ago about, was it quite strange, like, interested to know the kind of input that she had in terms of, like, approving storylines and how she must have felt? Because, like, obviously certain points in Tom's journey have been, like, quite dramatic and quite kind of, not controversial, but, you know, like, big things have happening. They became a dad at a really young age. Like, that would have been quite interesting for her to kind of approve, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Them storylines, when they came to fruition, that was a tough conversation to have with my mum about that. You know, getting Perry pregnant, you know, getting in Tom's first relationship, which was also obviously, I know it's acting, but it was Ellis's first kind of somewhat of a situational relationship.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge for me at the same time as much as it was for my mum. My mum's side of it, she never pushed me. If she ever pushed me, it was for my own good, and because she knew that I was missing out because I was reluctant to do something when she knew that if she pushed me that bit more, it'd pay off, kind of thing. But at the same time, she's always said, if you want to walk, if you don't want to do this anymore, that's up to you, that's your decision. And I've always respected that, because the to have someone behind you that wants the best for you, but also doesn't want to push you too much over the limit where, you know, you start resenting, you don't want to do it anymore. I'm glad that that wasn't the case. And I could have had a chaperone, which wasn't even my mum. I could have had someone that was just, you know, assigned to me. You know, if my mum would have been busy, you know, she dedicated 14 years of her life to my job. You know, she became a full-on chaperone, had the, what was it, the CRB checks, you know, the DBS checks, what are they now referred to as. You know, she went through the whole process, and then once I turned 18, that was it for her. So it was quite sad for my mum, really, because obviously she had loads of friends at work and stuff like that, and then she just stopped going. But I try and get her involved and everything like that. But she's loved me doing all this stuff, you know, growing up, because for her, it's seeing her little boy, you know, becoming somewhat successful and doing all these different adventures that I can imagine she would like to do growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So she's definitely been on my side throughout it all, and I've got nothing but I can't thank her enough.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think that you, with the kind of like those like more difficult conversations, like the birds and the bees and stuff. Like, that's always whether you're like acting or not, whether it's a real relationship or not, it's always like an awkward conversation to have, right? So
yeah.
You kind of just had your hand forced a bit by being like, "Well, mom, this is happening at work like this week."
I mean, so I'm getting paid for it. So you know, there's always somewhat of an influence there.
Are you the same age as Tom, or are you meant to be? Are you a little bit older?
Yeah, so I'm about, I think, a month and a half older. So Tom's birthday is New Year's Eve, I think it is. I can't remember if it's New Year's Day or not. I think it's New Year's Eve. But my birthday is the 14th of November. So it's about a month and a half away. Is it?
Mine's the 11th of November, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of people I know that have birthdays in November. They're just cool people.
It's a good month.
Talking about like those kind of like more like that transition, I guess, into more like adult storylines. Like, I just want to, I guess, like, get your feeling of, like, how you think Hollyoaks has like handled that kind of transition of putting Tom into more kind of like adult grown up storylines. I mean, obviously he's always had like serious stuff to do, but now, you know, they're kind of moving towards more adult stuff.
It's a very good question, actually, because I thought a lot about it myself, you know, going through, you know, a couple of years specifically, like 16, 17, 18, that transition of going from, you know, somewhat of a child to like a young adult to, you know, coming to be what I'd like to think is an adult now. you know, the storylines, there was a time where I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know where I was at in terms of storylines. Like, I felt like I was not somewhat restricted, but just that the storylines that I was getting was somewhat limiting in terms of, I felt like I was getting too old for the storylines, you understand? I felt like there was a threshold that I got to where I knew that I needed to start getting more adult storylines, or at least be written in a more sensible and mature way. You understand? But without losing I understand that my character's been like the comedic, you know, child for however many years, you know. So it's kind of getting that balance of not jumping straight into something new, because then it loses the effect of what you've built for your character. But I feel like Hollyoaks have done that really well, because I've had so many edgy, gritty storylines which have been so interesting to film, let alone I can imagine watch. You know, from being in the stunts, from being in a thruple, for goodness sake, you know. I think that was definitely the turning point, if any, of Tom growing up into a man. But yeah, I think they've handled it really well. And I definitely think that I've reached that point now where Tom's an adult. Tom knows what he's doing. You know, he's been a millionaire. He's put it into his market. He knows what he's doing. He's doing the best for his daughter, everything like that. So I think he's got his head screwed on tight now. Thank you, writers.
Yeah, I think that's you for the nail on the head, right? It's that like you want to as an audience, like we want to see the character grow, but we also want it to feel like the Tom that we spent 10-15 years watching. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a very progressive show though, isn't it, Hollyoaks? So I think it's a good it's been great to see Tom go from a little 3-year-old to a man now, really.
I know.
So yeah, it's great. So let's talk a little bit about the future, if we can.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to Ali about this the other day. So last December, we saw like a little tantalising view into the future with like New Year's Eve 2020. I mean, what a year to do a flash forward episode.
I know. I'm
sorry for this. I know. So we ask everyone this and we usually get the same answer, but who is in the body bag? Do you know? Who was in the body bag?
When you said that we usually get the same answer, I knew what you were going to ask me anyway. I'll have to check with my legal team. I genuinely don't know. I would love to know. It's not me, basically.
Yeah, well, that's good.
In a nutshell.
At least you know.
But that's all I know. So I'm quite clueless about the situation, really. But it's as exciting for me as it is for, I can imagine, everyone else who isn't in the body bag. Apart from that one person.
Is it quite strange, like on set and stuff, when you have these kind of storylines where there's a big cliffhanger, there's a big thing that you know is coming up, and presumably there are some people on set that know and some people don't. It must be quite like a funny atmosphere where you're like trying to work out, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. So you do get your mates who, like, you know, like not even anyone in particular, but it's just that general thing of, if you get a big storyline, obviously, you know, it's early doors, no one knows about it, and you can kind of hint that something's going to happen. You always get that banter, you know, around the cast and stuff like that, about hinting if they've like found something out about one character, and, you know, it's a kind of a bit of a raffle about who's going to get the next big storyline sometimes. You always get someone who'll come down and go, oh, guess what I've just got, you know. So it's dead good, but it's also good to see, you know, your mates, you know, because they are my mates essentially at work. See them thrive and getting their own storylines and everything like that. And it's great when you do things together. Like me and Owen, for example, I know I'm going off track, but me and Owen, who plays Romeo, are really good mates. And we've been doing on quite a bit together in the show. You know, we've become mates in the show, which is really nice, actually, because you can bring that... that genuine banterous double act onto the show pretty much, you know, especially when you're doing upbeat things, because you can apply it to your work, you know.
I think that comes across on screen as well, that you'll get on well, like you say, with you and Romeo and and all the sort of the teens. So my second question about the flash forward episode, because everyone is talking about it, so we've got to ask, the wedding, could Tom be the groom?
I mean, he could be.
He was in a suit, wasn't
but
he?
But so. I could also give you a list of people who also could be. So I wouldn't even base it off that. Tom's got some interesting stuff coming up, which may or may not be tied into the flash forward. That is all I am licensed to say.
that's totally understandable.
Definitely. Tom's got some good stuff coming up. But I'm looking forward to seeing whose wedding it is, and I'm very happy for them.
Cool. So I think we're just about ready to wrap up. But I guess my final question to you was: we talked a little bit about like the short-term future, right? What this end of this year looks like. I'm curious to get, like, for you, would you like to see Tom be the kind of character that is in, you know, Hollyoaks in 10, 20, 30 years' time? Is that something that you'd like, can you see a world in which, like, you kind of see Tom through for, like, all these different phases of his life? Is that something you'd love to do?
Like Ken Barlow.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to do it. Simply on the fact that I've started off so young. It's not like I've started this character, I know I took over the character from a child even younger than me, but basically I've carried that legacy on from being a baby. So it would be interesting, alongside my own life, to see how my character's life would progress. I think that would be really interesting, especially on a programme like Hollyoaks, where anything can happen. And I think we all know that at this point, that literally anything can happen. So it's endless doors that it opens for Tom. So I would love to see that. I would definitely love to see that. I can't even deny it. But it's just 20, 30, however long it takes, really, for Tom to sort his life out. get on top, own the village, and then that's it. End game.
Right, I think that is all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so great to talk to you.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
See you, Alice. See you soon.
No worries. Bye. See you later, mate. Bye-bye.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And there you go. I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Ellis as much as we had fun doing it. He's just like a really interesting guy, and yeah, lots of good stories there. So yeah.
Yeah, personally, I cannot wait for the flash forward episode. I know he was staying tight-lipped, but I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, we've spoken about it like during the interview and privately. It's just such an interesting thing that Hollyoaks did last Christmas to set this up, and then obviously they've had such a kind of crazy year, like we all have, to see how it's going to kind of play out and which things they're going to have to kind of adjust and amend. Yeah, it's really interesting, really kind of exciting time for fans of the show, for sure.
Definitely. And there's the anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks, and then yeah, from then on we'll be on the home straight to the New Year's Eve episode, so it's all very exciting.
Exactly. Speaking of things that are coming up in Soapland, this is the part of the show where we dig into kind of the biggest spoilers from the top four soaps. This week, the dates we're looking at are from the 5th of October to the 9th of October. And I think it makes sense for us to start with what I think is probably the biggest stories of the week, which are coming from Coronation Street.
Yep, indeed. So first up, we have the return of Todd. Mm. So he has been recast. We've got Gareth Pearce taking over the role, and Corey have sort of been teasing this over the last few weeks, kind of know that Todd is around. He's in a bit of a pickle, which Eileen is going to be diving headfirst into the bless her.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's always like, so yeah, like you say, Gareth Pearce is the actor who's kind of taking over the role of Todd. And it's all exciting. It's always exciting when we kind of get a new face attached to a familiar character in soaps. And, you know, you never know how it's going to go. So from what we've seen so far, Gareth looks like he does a great job. And yeah, it's it's exciting to see kind of what this new spin on a character that we haven't seen in years will look like.
Yeah, I think he's going to be stirring up trouble for sort of Billy and Eileen, of course, because she goes to meet him.
Yeah, it seems like, it's like you said, Billy and Paul have spent the past few weeks, like, or they've spent some time trying to track him down. This week, we're going to see kind of them bring Eileen into that. And then it looks like there's all sorts of like, there's like a home invasion that's going to happen and all sorts of kind of, not home invasion, but you know, it looks like Todd's going to kind of reappear in the Grimshaw household fleetingly.
I think he's going to be bringing trouble to all of their doorsteps, but it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, completely. And it's exciting to see, like I say, it's always exciting to see an old face return. So, well, fingers crossed it all goes smoothly for Eileen, although it does not look like that will be the case by the end of the week.
I know. Poor Eileen. Nothing is ever simple, is it? No. Not when Todd's around. But the other big story next week in Corrie is the really sad ongoing situation with Leanne and Nick. Mm. We've got Gail arriving back.
Yeah, speaking of returns, Helen Worth is kind of back after the lockdown break, which is exciting. It's always exciting to have Gail back on our screens.
Yeah, I think they need her. I think Nick needs her more than ever. So she finds out about his sort of secret son, shall we say, Sam, and she sort of really implores him to be honest with Leanne. But obviously it's so difficult with what she's going through with Oliver.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think obviously Helen Worth, they kind of, if you've been paying attention to the kind of filming schedules and what's been happening with the social distancing rules, obviously older members of the cast were kind of staggered back into filming at different times. So obviously we haven't had Gail present in the show for a few weeks, and now she's kind of coming back, and it's a lot for that character to return to. Like you say, there's all the stuff with Leanne and her son, and then obviously Nick's new son. So it's exciting to see kind of how adding Gail into the mix will hopefully make things easier for the family, but who knows?
Yeah, they kind of need her around, don't they? But yeah, Leanne does end up finding out the truth about Sam. But sort of the big question is, how is she going to react? What's that going to look like now with everything that she's already going through with Steve and Oliver?
Exactly. And speaking of, big life events, the other big life event that's happening in Coronation Street next week is Sally and Tim's wedding and the potential for Jeff, to ruin something and to kind of ruin this day for them. So it basically, Jeff finds out that Tim and Sally have kind of arranged their secret wedding and deliberately kept them out of the loop for obvious reasons. He finds out and is obviously not too happy about it, and we're kind of waiting to see what he does. We've got some kind of teases that it looks like things after the wedding, they kind of get married at registry office and they have their kind of after wedding party, and it looks like at first things have gone well, but maybe there's kind of police involvement, and it seems that Jeff is involved and is not going to let these things fly.
Oh, of course not. Obviously, with where Jeff is concerned, there's always trouble. It seems like they're sort of really, he's already, obviously we know he's a villain and we know he treated Yasmin appallingly and he was very, very abusive there, but he seems to be becoming a villain in other ways, sort of getting involved in sort of everything. And
it's interesting to see them, which I think we've seen someone else, which we'll talk about in a bit as well, but they've taken the Jeff, they spent a big part of this year, laying the groundwork with the Jeff and Yasmin story and, obviously kind of the horrible things that he did and laid the groundwork for him to be this villain. And now it's spilling out into all of his relationships, into all of his kind of all the people he interacts with. It's clear that he's the villain on the street at the moment.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think in terms of longevity, like how much longer can it go on for?
Yeah. Speaking of people who are making enemies wherever they go, to take a look at Emmerdale quickly, Jamie Tate, who we spent last week talking about whether he was going to be found out, what was going to happen, it seems that he's making more enemies as he goes along. He's looking to evict Wendy and Luke, and it looks like they have some sort of kind of altercation at some point next week.
Yes, so Jamie ends up being found unconscious. So there's all part of his downfall, because obviously Belle and Andrea sort of teamed up to bring him down and make him pay for all his wrongdoings. But we do know, I think Eden's done some, who plays Belle, has done some chats, and we know that Jamie has got some tricks up his sleeve. So all might not be as it seems.
Of course.
We need to keep an eye on
that. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think similar to Jeff, we're seeing Jamie kind of being, everyone wants to see him kind of fall. And it's just, hopefully it's just a matter of time to see when that happens.
Yeah, exactly. I think he won't go down without a fight.
No. And then the other thing, I mean, it's quite a light week on Emmerdale next week, but the other big thing, or the other kind of big thing we wanted to talk about was, you know, more Chaz and Paddy drama.
Yeah. It's a strange one, isn't it? So she's got this connection with Al, and it seems like she kind of fancies him a bit. They sort of go on a picnic and sparks are flying, and then Paddy gets wind of what's going on and sort of is encouraged to confront her, but that doesn't go very well.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think, like, yeah, the kind of, like we talked about last week, that there's this connection here. Paddy's obviously going to find out and not be too happy that, you know, their relationship might be on the rocks. But it does seem, I just wonder whether there's something else happening here, something else going on, because it does seem strange. I mean, fingers crossed it, you know, Paddy and Chaz can sort it out, because we do love them. But yeah, it's a tricky time.
I feel like something's brewing there, isn't it? It's not going to be good for poor Paddy.
No. If we move over to EastEnders, it's another, just like Corrie, it's a big, big week on Albert Square.
Lots going on there. I don't even know where to start. Should we start with Frankie and Mick?
Yeah.
That's quite early on in the week. I think that starts on Monday, but that is going to feed into the following week. That is big, really big. Yeah. So she finally sort of tells him that she thinks he's her dad, which is just huge. That's just...
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's. It's such a surprise. Like, it's not something that I saw coming at all. Like, we've seen her being kind of weird for a few weeks, which we didn't like. You know, Frank is a character that we got introduced to, I think, at the beginning of summer through Ben and Callum, who we kind of she was a really nice character then, and this development started off in a very strange way. But now, kind of with the revelation, that she thinks Mick is her dad, it starts to make a bit more sense.
I can't work it out. So it does all get explained over the coming weeks, and we can't obviously talk about that now. We'll be talking about it next week. But I can't work out, like, how old she is, where she sort of fits in, but it is big. It's a big, big story for Mick. I think Danny Dyett actually said it's his biggest ever story.
Really? Well, it's funny as well. Something I was thinking about was, obviously, we've got the, like, drag bingo situation happening at the Prince Albert, and that's kind of where things, there's like a lot of tension between Mick and Linda in that situation, and we see some kind of like slightly weird stuff with Tina like coming on a bit too strong with Frankie, which now makes a lot more sense why kind of Frankie would run to the hills at that suggestion.
A little bit horrified. They're related, aren't they? I mean, it's that typical soap thing where it's like, actually can't get it on because we are related. So a little bit awkward, but so the other big story, well, there's sort of two stories that are coinciding with each other, and that is Whitney's trial, finally, for Leo's murder, which aired back in February, but has obviously all been delayed because of COVID.
And was it that far back? That's crazy.
Yeah, it was Valentine's Day. Yeah. I remember there were sort of roses all over the floor. It was all very eerie. And then so that's going to play out on the same week as Chantel's funeral, which is going to put Gray in a bit of a situation because he is obviously representing Whitney. But obviously the Taylors are expecting him to be at the funeral.
Yeah, it's a really tricky one. I think, you know, thing that we know about Whitney is, A, she has terrible luck, and B, she's kind of like a very loving character. And I think she's already kind of, she's starting to feel, you know, bad for Gray. And although she wants him there at the trial, she's like, oh, well, you know, he should be at the funeral with him and Chantel's kids. And it's just kind of, it's becoming quite a messy situation with Whitney and Gray. And my alarm bells are ringing of like, I don't want Whitney to kind of fall for this or get too close to Gray.
I know. You want her to sort of stay right away, don't you? And the other thing is that I don't even think that Gray wants to be at the funeral because he's feeling so guilty.
Yeah.
So I think he'd rather be at the trial, but for the rest of the family, they're a bit like, what? You know, what's he going to do? And, you know.
Yeah, and it's I think the thing with Gray's character that's so interesting is, one of the things that makes it interesting to watch is like the extent to which it's calculated. I think the one of the scary things about Gray is that he kind of drifts between these like really horrible rash actions and the way that he treats Chantel, and then obviously, you know, in the wake of her death, we saw him do something very calculated where he left and came back. This week it will be a case of, you know, does he go to the funeral to save face, or does he kind of and to prove something, or does he not? It's kind of, it's this interesting calculation that he's going to have to do.
And what does the future hold for poor Whitney? That is also going to be going into the following week as well. So we've got a little bit of a while to wait until we find out whether she will walk free or if she's going to be facing a prison sentence. Yeah.
I mean, it's been a minute since we've had a good courtroom episode in the soap, so I'm quite looking forward to that.
Love a courtroom drama.
Yeah, it looks like maybe it doesn't go well at first, but then Whitney kind of stands up for herself, and then obviously Mick is going to kind of give evidence as well, and we don't quite know how he's going to deal with the pressure of that, also given everything that's going on, like we talked
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I think he's giving evidence at the most challenging time because he's obviously had this bombshell from Frankie earlier in the week. So it's very clever. Yeah. It all kind of...
Yeah, it's all threads together really nicely.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really does.
And then the other small, kind of slightly smaller scale news from EastEnders before we move on is the news that Jags was leaving, which is kind of sad for fans of the Panasars. And it looks
quite
like,
sad.
Yeah, I think he's a very likable character, and his relationship with the Bieber has been really fun to kind of watch this year.
I feel like it's one of those things, whenever there's an exit announcement, there's obviously going to be mixed opinions, but personally, I think he had potential, and I feel like he's leaving a little bit too soon, but the story will be shocking.
Yeah, and it's just more stuff. So as far as we know, what's going to happen is that, or as much as we can say, is that kind of Jags kind of reveals his relationship with the Bieber, which has been happening over lockdown, to his family, his mom, you know, who's fast becoming kind of a big villain on the show, is not happy. And at first, although she's very kind of like protective over the family, obviously we saw the situation with Vinny and kind of Martin's assault, and the police are getting involved. And at first, Suki's kind of very like... keen to close ranks and protect her kids from the police. It looks like she's not happy with the revelation that Jags has been in a relationship with the Bieber and might kind of implicate Jags as revenge, or as kind of she's going to lash out and maybe implicate Jags in some way to the police.
Exactly. I think she feels that she's sort of losing grip on him a bit, and she's very controlling, isn't she? So I think she likes to have them all sort of under her spell. That's going to be sad, but
But it's exciting to see what happens. And I think that's kind of the stuff there with the story of Martin and Ruby. And like, that's going to come in. It's going to be an interesting kind of mix of characters in the next few weeks, hopefully.
Definitely. Right. Finally, shall we jump on to Hollyoaks very quickly? So there's sort of the two biggest stories there. We'll start with Juliet because I know it's the ongoing drugs saga, the County Lines story. So there's some developments there.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, in my head, it's this kind of like betrayal betrayal ping pong between her and Jordan is what it seems like.
Yeah. So she wants to be higher up the ladder.
Yeah. With Victor.
Victor doesn't like people who grass, which then leaves Jordan in danger.
Yeah, which we've known the whole storyline has been this, but they're both so far in over their heads in the same way. It's a case of, it looks like it's going to be a case of A, who gains the most favour with Victor?
Mm.
You know, P.S. it doesn't look like it's going to be Jordan. And then also whether Juliet will, you know, she's going to be faced with this choice, right, between Victor and kind of her old life with Sid. And, with you know, Sid. What's going to happen? Who's she going to choose?
She's got a whole new look as well.
Yeah, like, a big change.
It is. If you go on to Digital Spy, check out the pictures. She looks very, very different. And it's a case of, why has she changed her look?
Yeah.
Is it for Victor or is it for her reunion with Sid and their new life together?
Yeah, it's a great tease, actually. Like, I was looking at the photo earlier and it took me a second to work out that it was still her. And yeah, it kind of raises all these questions because she's kind of got this like edgier, darker look. But is that because...
Definitely.
You know, because she's kind of making this move into a slightly different lifestyle with Victor, or is it because she's trying to kind of look different so she doesn't get spotted? Yeah, it's interesting, and it's a big, big change.
Yeah, I think that story is really going to, over the, until like we talked about earlier, sort of gone full circle here, the flash forward episode, I think it's going to run.
Yeah.
To that,
sure.
Really, yeah. And then the other big Hollyoaks story next week is Felix. This is actually quite sad, you know.
Mm.
So him and Warren are going to go into business together, but obviously we know Felix has got this traumatic past. He was abused in a children's home by Cormac, and I think they have, him and Warren have this like kind of competitive rivalry about who's going to be in charge and get creative control.
If you remember earlier in the year and earlier in the summer, they were like really, really like, you know, bumping heads and really kind of like enemies, and now now they've kind of, it looks like they've come the other side, come to, through the other side of things, but
you know. Yeah. So he Warren locks Felix in a cupboard, which sort of triggers him, and he sort of remembers his past abuse, and he ends up opening up to Warren. But the problem is, he wants revenge.
Yeah,
and it's, that's not always good.
No,
in these situations, like, he wants revenge. I think when he means, when he says revenge, I think he really means revenge. So it's a case of how far is he going to go?
Yeah, it's it'd be really interesting to see kind of where Hollyoaks draws the line with the character and what they decide is kind of, you know, too far or not. It's interesting as well. I mean, the situations are very different in some ways, but Hollyoaks is clearly, you know, if you look at the kind of like Toby and Celeste stuff, and then this, there's a lot of kind of like exploring trauma and the things that you kind of were done to you when you were younger, both in both those storylines, which I think is quite an interesting
comparison. Yeah,
obviously, it's different. You know, the Toby and Celeste situation is kind of in some ways much more, in lots of ways much more sinister. And what happened to them and kind of the impact it's had. But yeah, there's definitely some similarities.
Yeah, it's a case of how they can't move on from their past and how they're trying to, and how it's sort of shaping them as adults.
Yeah, completely. Cool. Okay, and that is all of the spoilers we've got for this week. There is a lot happening in the world of soaps next week. So we're excited to kind of see how it all unfolds. And, you know, next time you hear from us, I'm sure we're going to have some kind of big feelings, especially around things that are happening in Corrie and EastEnders, but all over the place there's big storylines unfolding. Until then, you can stay up to date with everything on all your favourite soaps by going to digitalspy.co.uk/soaps. You can follow us and the show on Twitter at SoapScoop and on Facebook at facebook.com/digitalspysoaps.
And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, let us know what you think, let us know what you are looking forward to, and we will see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.